The Freddie Mac Multifamily Podcast brings together industry leaders to talk through current issues and important housing trends. Hear from our hosts and their expert guests by searching Freddie Mac Multifamily wherever you get your podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Gary and Shannon Show. We'll come here. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And I just have a, you know, pop culture question to start everyone off with. Tyler's running the board. We have producer Mondo, producer Kayla helping out today.
And yeah, there's a Kayla and a Layla.
Yeah, but you, so right, I was talking like the Airmix folks.
So I mean, she's Kayla. That's Kayla. Yeah,
Kayla, Layla. Right.
Gotcha. Kayla, so people listening, Layla. A Kayla and a Layla, yes.
And Layla Muhammad, who's on the ones and the twos in the newsroom.
Bless your heart.
Here's the question. Have you seen the movie Air Force One with Harrison Ford? Okay. Mondo says thumbs up. Yes, he has seen it. Okay. Tyler, have you seen it? Okay. I think you can glean a lot about the news if you're knowledgeable about popular culture. If you remember that movie, Harrison Ford plays the president of the United States. He goes to, I think, Russia to give this speech about foreign policy. And on the way back, Air Force One is hijacked by a group of Russians, most notably Gary Oldman. Has a real sketchy Russian accent, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, it talks about, in a real, you know, unsophisticated way, how we should handle terrorism or terrorists. And it reminds us, you know, the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. And there's a scene with Glenn Close, and she's talking to the president on Air Force One because they have real great technology with a phone and a cordless phone. But anyhow, and Harrison Ford reminds Glenn Close of a conversation they had as far as why you don't give a mouse a cookie, because then the mouse will want a glass of milk as well, which goes back to why we don't negotiate with terrorists, because once you give them what they want, there's no guarantee that they're not going to want something else. They are going to want something else. That's the moral of that story. And it's kind of ironic because we're now dealing with this Colonial Pipeline hack within the context of Russia. President Biden spoke earlier and he was saying that he read the FBI report and he's confident from the intelligence that he's been given that Russia, the government, was not involved with that. Now, there's also intelligence which says that the people responsible most likely are in Russia. So maybe it's like a distinction without a difference. Maybe the government wasn't behind it, but maybe also the Russian government was looking the other way while this happened. There are a lot of ways which you can read it. But here's my point. There are reports out there that a $5 million ransom was paid to get the Colonial Pipeline back up and running sooner than later. It took 6 days to get to this point. 6 days in which the pipeline was down, you saw how much havoc had been wrought. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about the supply shortages. We talked about the long gas lines, and people started panicking, at least on the East Coast. There was a run on gas. We ran out of gas in many parts of the southeastern portion of the U.S. You could see what might happen if this had been elongated for any amount of time. The longer the pipeline was down, the more of an issue it was going to be for Americans. And here's the uncomfortable reality. Let's say it is factual that the hackers were just people, not connected to any nation state, not necessarily financed by any nation or a rogue nation entity. That should tell you how vulnerable we are. That should tell you how vulnerable our infrastructure is. That should tell you how it doesn't take much to bring a large portion of the country to a halt. And I understand why someone would say, well, we should not negotiate with terrorists. You can't pay them the $5 million. But think if this had gone on for another 2 weeks. What might this nation be dealing with today? And yes, paying the $5 million does not prevent this happening tomorrow. That's the uncomfortable part of this. $5 million, I think we got off cheap. If the published reports are true, $5 million, we got off real easy to get just some sort of, you know, gas semblance of peace back. $5 million, that's all? I'm actually surprised they only asked for $5 million or relented after only $5 million. But who knows about tomorrow? Tomorrow it may be $10 million. Next week it may be $15 million. Next week it might be, I don't know, a gas pipeline and an electrical grid. And they're asking for $100 million. Do you not pay then? That's a big glass of milk. So how do you handle this? Well, President Biden has signed an executive order to strengthen U.S. cybersecurity defenses after the Colonial Pipeline hack. Okay, that's nice. Maybe we'll throw some money at it. Maybe we'll take infrastructure a little bit more seriously now. Now that we have actually put our hands on the stove and been burned, as they say, we know what it feels like. We know what it means when the stove is hot, how it's going to hurt us. Literally and figuratively, if we don't handle this infrastructure problem, I don't know how you fortify all of these, I guess they would be soft targets, around the U.S. I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can. But it's another aspect of how we are fighting these wars, which aren't actually wars. And again, going back to what I was saying at the beginning, according to the FBI intelligence, which has been released publicly and what President Biden has said publicly, this was not done at the behest of the Russian government. Do with that what you will. But President Biden also said that the intelligence showed that the individuals most likely connected to this were in Russia. And I think, well, that's like a distinction without a difference. I don't think that they're doing this without the knowledge or even possibly the support or approval of Russia, even though they may not be formally being backed by Russia, may not be formally helped by Russia, but I have to believe that nothing like this happens without the permission of Russia, put it that way. So where do we go from here? Well, President Biden said he's going to meet with President Putin and strongly and sternly, I'm sure, set Putin straight as far as what is going to be their relationship going forward, what is going to be the relationship of our nations going forward, and how we're supposed to work together, yada, 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 blah, 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 you know. All that kind of diplomatic stuff to help handle this. But here's the problem. We know that we have been hacked by Russia. We know that we have been hacked by North Korea. And it seems like folks are just playing around. If this was just a taste of the capability of what could be done by a group of people, if we just take them at the word, by a group of people not affiliated with the nation, well, what could a nation with real resources and bad intent do? I would be concerned because I don't believe that our infrastructure is ready for a direct assault on it. And I'm quite sure we will have a response. There, behind the scenes, there will be some sort of response if we felt Russia was connected to it. I'm quite sure we have our own team who could just flip a switch and Russia would go dark. I know that. I'm pretty sure we can do that. But the consequences of doing that, that's an escalation I don't think we want to do. They've already got the cookie. I can bet you now they'll want some milk because you paid that $5 million ransom. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Layla Muhammad has the news. You know, she played a fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just want to dance with my pretty little girl. Gary and Shannon Show, Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And I understand some state governments are very concerned about their vaccination rates. Some states are concerned that there is a lag, that they're falling behind, that interest is waning. The people who originally wanted to get the vaccine, for the most part, they've already received the vaccine. And then there's the question of, What about the people who are hesitant or resistant to, or just outright saying, I'm not going to get the vaccine? And yesterday we had a conversation on the program about what was just going on in Orange County as far as the supposed vaccine passports, as far as how people will go about either getting the vaccine and how other people will know whether they've had the vaccine, whether that's going to be a physical card or it's going to be some sort of a digital passport, if you will. And there's back and forth about where our society moves from here. Just going forward, people who refuse to get the vaccine, where they will go in terms of the private sector. Can businesses tell people, hey, you didn't get the vaccine, I don't want you coming in my business, I don't want the legal exposure? Yes, there are going to be 70,000 people at this football game, and we only want people who are vaccinated, so you can't turn around and sue us later. There are arguments for that, and I get that. But now some states like Ohio are going to the extreme to make sure that people have at least some sort of motivation to get vaccinated, this COVID-19 vaccine. Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio, well, he is pledging that the state would give five people $1 million each in return for having been vaccinated as part of a weekly lottery program. And it's not even clear whether such a lottery would be legal, but it would be paid specifically by the federal COVID-19 relief funds. So it's being paid by the federal government, just in case you happen to be in Ohio. It's not being paid by state funds. Now, the first of five weekly drawings is going to be held on May 26th. This is according to the governor. And this is what he had to say on Twitter. It's so weird how we just do everything by Twitter now. From the president on down, it just seems like that is the weapon of choice when it comes to trying to reach as many Americans as possible. How strange, how quickly our country has changed in just 5 years. Quote, I know that some may say, DeWine, you're crazy. This $1 million drawing idea of yours is a waste of money. But truly, the real waste at this point in the pandemic, when the vaccine is readily available to anyone who wants it, is a life lost to COVID-19. And there's some truth there, if only because just because many people are getting vaccinated, it does not mean that COVID-19 is not then dangerous to the unvaccinated population. You can still see we're still losing some, I can't remember the last statistic I saw, but close to 600 to 700 people per day because of COVID-19. And that could be drastically reduced by the more people that we have vaccinated. And I've seen different accounts and beliefs as far as when we would reach herd immunity, whether it could be done by the end of this summer or it's going to take even longer. But I do know that the longer we wait to get as many people vaccinated, the longer it's going to take for us to get to herd immunity. And sometimes we want to employ gimmicks, and this is a straight up gimmick. I mean, there are all sorts of contests and giveaways, you know, win $1,000, win $1 million if you do this, that, and the other. And you think, oh my gosh, why are they doing that? Because it does motivate people to act. Just going to the grocery store, you would be amazed at how many people want to play that grocery Monopoly game. And they give me all these tickets like, are you playing Monopoly? It's like, no, I'm not. Well, take the tickets. No, I don't want them. And they give me literally like 45 of those tear off whatever the things, and they don't even have the board anymore. It used to be you'd have this actual board. You put the Monopoly pieces on, and now it's all digital. It's like, well, what's the fun in that? But, you know, there are some people, and they're usually a little older than me, who, and Tyler, you're shaking your head, they are really into that grocery Monopoly game. I mean, they are serious with it. And don't they understand? They're like a few control pieces. You'll get everything except that one control piece because that's how they limit the number of winners they have.
I always just make sure to leave them kind of where you put your payment down, so that the next person that rolls through, if they want them, they can just have them.
Yeah, I've done that. I've left them right there on the counter. And it's like, I don't want to be rude. They hand them to me, I'll take them. But it used to be back in the day, and I know this is a big digression, but it used to be back in the day with that Monopoly game, you had a good chance of just winning, I don't know, like a hash browns to McDonald's. They had those instant winner coupons, and now the game doesn't have them. They're all coupons. They're just like 15% off Palmolive, or, you know, it's like, I don't need dishwashing liquid. Yeah, I don't need
McDonald's
a reason to come
Monopoly up. Was definitely where it was at. The whole Vons transition
Maybe that's it.
Fell off.
Yeah. Because now it used to be an annual event where people are like, when you start the Monopoly game, can't wait. And you'd only get maybe one or two game pieces per purchase. When they started giving me 15 and 20, it's like, come on now. Come on. I don't have a chance to win anything. You're giving me 20 pieces and all 20 of them are coupons for shite I don't use. There's no point in me playing the game because there's no winning in it. In other words, you're just giving me an opportunity to spend more money in your Vons. And I get that, but that kind of ties into this where, you know, people will lose their minds over the prospect of winning something. And the odds of you winning $1 million after having been vaccinated are slim and none. But I understand why the governor would employ such a technique. Because if you think about, if you play the state lottery, you got 1 in a 1 billion chance of winning. You're not going to win the super lotto. You're not going to win anything like that. But people play. Why? Because there's this thought in the back of their mind that they could win. And what do they say? You can't win if you don't play. And that type of thinking does carry over for something like this. Well, you can't win $1 million if you don't get jabbed. Oh, you know, there will be people, and you may think, there's no way I would get a shot for $1 million. Look, I'm telling you, there are plenty of people who will get a shot for millions of dollars. You've got to think about the people who would just do, like, the sperm donations for a little bit of money. People will gladly offer up their bodies for money. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying it's not often that you have a chance, albeit small, to get $1 million. And you're saying, like, wait a minute, I was planning to get vaccinated anyway. Or I was planning to get vaccinated anyway, but maybe 3 or 4 weeks from now. But if they're giving out $1 million, shoot, I'll do it next week. You know, what do I have to lose? It's not like you're even buying an actual lottery ticket. And that's the thing. We have this lotto group here at the office. And I think we put in, I don't know, maybe $2 each or something like that. Nothing big, but we're still paying into it where this is just, you know, you're just putting your arm in it. So that can be attractive for people, but I want to see them actually pay this off. I want to see the person holding up like the hypodermic needle and that big cardboard check for $1 million. Like, yeah, they stuck me and I got $1 million, right? I want to see that. I want to see that moment with the game show host and say, Lucy Flores, you just won $1 million. And they're smiling and it's like, oh, they're going to lose it in 3 weeks because they don't know how to manage money. I want to see that whole story. This is the Gary and Shannon Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. When we come back, we're going to talk to the patriotic millionaires who want to tax the rich. What? Yes, that's next. By AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mr. Mo Kelly here. Against the backdrop of President Biden's proposed $2 trillion infrastructure plan, which is to be offset in part by raising corporate taxes and taxes on households with income over $400,000. And don't forget a hideously underwhelming jobs report last Friday with a slight increase in unemployment. With all that in mind, the debate continues as to how we should financially manage our economy as we emerge from the pandemic and beyond. And oh yeah, the IRS filing extension deadline is coming up Monday on the 17th. Joining me right now via Zoom are Morris Pearl and Erica Payne of the nonpartisan organization Patriotic Millionaires and co-authors of the new book, Tax the Rich: How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. First, from one Morris to another, it's not often I get to say hello to another Morris. Morris Pearl, how are you today?
I'm great. It's great to be in your show. Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
And Erica, how are you today?
I'm absolutely fabulous. Thanks, Mo.
Erica, let me begin with you. There's an old saying, the rich get richer. Is the short answer that our economy is tilted, or dare I say rigged, in the direction of the rich and wealthy?
100%. Listen, right now, 71% of Americans think the economy is rigged against them. We have big news. They're right. I'm not sure what the other 29 think, but we have set up an economy that definitionally is going to make rich people even richer and regular people further and further behind more quickly over time. We are in a spot.
Morris, Chris Rock, the comedian, did a very funny bit years ago delineating the difference between the concepts of being rich and being wealthy. I'll paraphrase. He said, like, Shaquille O'Neal is rich, but the guy who signs his checks is wealthy. What does it mean to be rich or wealthy to you in America?
Yeah, I remember that routine very well. The difference is, I remember going on vacation with our family once, and one of my son's girlfriends being escorted into a VIP lounge as we're going first class on a trip to Europe. Say, oh, this is how the rich people live. Everything, rich people, they're not actually in this airport at all. They're on their private jets in the other airport. And yeah, there's a big difference between regular people who work for a living, people like me who don't have to work for a living, who have the good fortune of being wealthy enough to have retired many years ago, and then the ultra wealthy, who have so much money, they literally have to hire people to help them figure out how to give it away. That's just a beyond, so much beyond what you can imagine having to do.
Erica, I think Morris was just touching upon it, but anyone who knows their American history knows that the tax code has progressively, small p, favored the individually wealthy and corporations over the decades. Why seemingly are we okay with billion-dollar multinational corporations paying literally zero taxes? Does trickle-down economics not actually exist?
Okay, so trickle-down economics, the heart of that word is trick. And it's nothing but a trick, and it's been a trick, and it's just awful. So over the last 70 years, our tax code for the wealthiest people in corporations has gotten less and less and less. And so they used to pay a top marginal income tax rate of 94%. Today, the top marginal income tax rate is 37%. Corporations used to bring in around 30% of the revenue to the country. Now they bring in about 7% of the revenues. You saw a few weeks ago, 55 companies, some of the biggest companies, FedEx, et cetera, pay no taxes whatsoever. So if you sent a single package over FedEx, you paid more to FedEx than FedEx paid to pave the roads, keep the streets clean, and all of that stuff. You did more than FedEx did. And I think that is an absurdity. And it is built into the cake of our tax code.
Morris, you represent Patriotic Millionaires, which is a nonpartisan organization. But when we talk about taxes, when we talk about corporate taxes, it oftentimes is politicized or it's viewed through a political lens. What about this idea of this political economy in which you speak of in the book Tax the Rich? How should we view these issues, if we can, through this nonpartisan lens?
Somehow, some way, half of Americans, roughly, have been convinced that, oh, we have to appease the rich people, or they will, I don't know what they'll do, take their ball and go to the next playground or something. But it's just not true. We have to make decisions as a democracy by voting for elected representatives who represent everybody, not just the rich people. We have to understand that we have to run this country in a way that everyone does well, or else none of us will do well. You know, we've seen revolutions in Greece a few years ago, in South Africa a few decades ago. Those don't end well for the rich people. We have to have a different path, and we have to change course now.
Erica, I'm going to pull in just a tint of politics as far as how some people may have viewed Morris's answer. When he says that everyone should do well, someone will say, ah, that's socialism, and we live in a capitalist society, and we live in a society where they're winners and they're losers, and some people fail. Some people are more ambitious in nature, and society rewards them accordingly. Do we really need to make sure that everyone does well?
Well, so there are a couple of things. I mean, yes, it is true that people have different talent levels. They have different ambitions. Morris worked for a lot of people in his whole career who really wanted to focus on making money. I've worked with a lot of people in my career who mostly wanted to study issues or policies or promote things that were for the common good. So people come at, you know, I'm not as good of a basketball player as Michael Jordan. So chances are I'm not going to, you know, make a killing in the basketball business. But we all live in the country together. And I think if the coronavirus has done one good thing, it's to see that we are all incredibly interconnected. And that interconnectedness should lead us, even if we can't find it in our hearts to do it for like a moral reason, just literally, what kind of society do you want to live in? Do you want to walk down the street and feel safe, have your kids go to a great school? Do you want to be able to have folks that you can hire to work in your business? You know, these are things that we build as a society as a whole, and some of those require investing. So we want to see us finance a stable, prosperous, and inclusive nation where everybody can succeed, but also where everybody who lives in that society likes living there because it's nice and it's fun.
Joining me right now via Zoom are Erica Payne and Morris Pearl of the nonpartisan organization Patriotic Millionaires and co-authors of the new book, Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. We're going to get into that in earnest when we come back. Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it used to be the taxes wasn't cause for much concern, for our uncle wasn't worried over the money that we was gonna earn. But today, with rising taxes on most everything you do, just sit back and give a listen and I'll just try to name a few. They've taxed your family auto, not to mention gasoline. Taxed your weekly payroll and a lot that just can't be seen. Taxed your telegrams and phone calls, luggage and carpet tax. You'd think the time would come when them revenuers would relax. Taxes, taxes, will you always haunt me? Will I always have to work in vain? You have caused me many tribulations. Taxes, taxes, you have taxed my brain.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. Joining me right now as we continue my conversation via Zoom are Morris Pearl and Erica Payne. They're of the nonpartisan organization Patriotic Millionaires and co-authors of the new book, Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. I like the alliteration. Morris, let me come to you. What are these lies and loopholes? I can figure out the lobbyists, but specifically the lies and loopholes in which richer people are getting even richer.
The biggest lie I focus on is the idea that investors, people who invest in the stock market, are somehow benefiting the whole country and need to be rewarded by paying half the taxes that people like you who work for a living pay. It's a lie and it's a loophole because there's absolutely no reason why I should sit here and press a few buttons on my computer and buy and sell stock and pay half the tax on that profit that someone who works for a living pays making the same amount of money. It's just ridiculous that we reward capital, people who make money from money, more than we reward labor, people who make money from their work.
And Mo, it's a lot of money. So like if I made $100,000 working this year and Morris made $100,000 just clicking a button on an E-Trade account, I actually end the year with 40 hours of work, 52 weeks a year. I end the year $8,000 poorer than Morris because the tax code thinks it's more important for Morris to click go on an E-Trade account in 5 minutes, one time in 365 days a year than it is for me to go to work every day. If you go up to 400,000, same kind of thing. Morris ends the year $44,000 richer than me. And I'm the one who worked and he sat around all day, you know, doing whatever, and then one day clicked an E-Trade account. This is a built-in advantage for rich people, and it is killing our country.
But what about the argument where Morris represents the job creators, the job providers? They make sure that there's a space and place for Americans to go to work and decrease that unemployment rate that I talked about in the very beginning. Go ahead, Erica.
So let me just say this. The job creator myth is probably one of the biggest lies out there in America today. Okay, Jeff Bezos employs lots and lots of people. He employs people because people want to buy toilet paper in an efficient way. But people were buying toilet paper a long time before Jeff Bezos came along. The single only job creator in the economy is consumer demand. Consumers with money in their pocket that they can spend buying goods and services. Full stop. The person who organizes the relationship is not a job creator. They are merely the beneficiary of a system they have put together, a business, to transfer consumer demand into business activity. They are not job creators. The consumer demand is the job creator.
And I don't even organize anything. I have $1 million worth of stock in Amazon, but that didn't benefit Amazon either. I bought it from someone else who was selling it that day. And I've been doing very well with it, but that's not benefiting anybody, except for my family, who will hopefully sell it someday. But it's just a ridiculous absurdity, the idea that occasionally trading stock is somehow benefiting the companies or the employees or anyone else. It's just not true, Mo.
Morris, let me keep it with you. You make it very clear in the book that you don't feel an ounce of guilt about being rich. Not that you should. Those who know your history know your long career on Wall Street and, of course, your connection to BlackRock. So I say that because no one can then accuse you of being jealous. But you can be accused of, and I'll put it this way, like being a traitor to your own cause, if you will. Why act seemingly in opposition of your own personal interests? You talk about having the Amazon stock and it benefits your family, but you can also make the argument, well, you've made a career off just benefiting yourself. Why the about face now?
Well, yeah, I used to work for a living. I used to not have enough money to afford to be able to retire. And I worked for a living, and I worked for employers who had use for my skills, and that was great. I developed huge systems for Wall Street firms and had a lot of fun making a lot of money for my friends and I in the process. But I want to continue my children and my granddaughter now to have those opportunities. And what I'm seeing is our country devolving into, I mean, you've seen it yourself. Civil unrest, people marching in the streets. I want the next generations to have the same opportunities that I had to get wealthy. And those opportunities only existed because of the millions of homeowners paying their mortgage payments every month, because of the millions of people paying their iPhone bills and everything else every month. And if we don't have that robust middle class that spends money, there won't be any opportunities for investors and business people to make money in this country.
Erica, we talked about the lies and the loopholes. I guess everyone loves to throw rocks, as they say, at the lobbyists. They're an easy target. But have we overstated or understated their impact in terms of how we may form our economic policies?
We have grossly underestimated the extent to which the lobbyists drive public policy. We have right now 181 CEOs who are insisting that the corporate tax hike that Biden has proposed is going to hurt their businesses and hurt their jobs. Of those, probably a cool dozen paid zero in taxes last year. And these CEOs hire these lobbyists, and the CEOs go on TV and spout a bunch of nonsense and lies to the American people about job creation. And their lobbyists take their corporate PAC checks and walk into the halls of Congress, and they write the rules of an economy, and their control over the drawing board is why we currently have an economic system that virtually guarantees that Jeff Bezos is going to get richer and richer with each passing day, and that regular working people are going to be left holding the bag. Billionaires in America paid a lower tax rate last year than every other group of people in the country.
And there you have it. The name of the book is Tax the Rich: How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer, co-authored by representatives of the Patriotic Millionaires, both Erica Payne and Morris Pearl. Erica, very quickly, how can people find the book and also the Patriotic Millionaires online?
Absolutely. TaxTheRich.com. We have a roadshow. We have a book. You can sign up to join our campaign. If you want to learn more about the group, you can go to PatrioticMillionaires.org. So TaxTheRich.com and PatrioticMillionaires.org.
Erica Payne, Morris Pearl. Morris, from one Morris to another Morris, thank you. I can't express enough how infrequently I get to run into another Morris, so I'm going to just revel in that for just one more second. Thank you both for coming on today, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Great to be in your show.
Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Keep it right here, but now let's go to the newsroom for an update.
There's no better feeling than getting a great deal, like a hotel room upgrade or a free car wash with every tank of gas. Maybe unlimited chips and salsa with your burrito. And now, as an AT&T wireless customer, you can get an exclusive deal on a super fast internet experience with AT&T Fiber. Get consistently fast speed, even during peak times, and a great deal with AT&T Fiber. Learn more at att.com/fiberoffer. Limited availability in select areas based on wired connection to gateway. Restrictions apply.
This is Eric Leonard, investigating every big news event on the streets for over 20 years. Hands down, one of the most connected reporters in LA, getting the story behind the story. The NBC4 iTeam, dedicated to working for you. Eric Leonard gets back a family's stolen treasure, ripped away by a thief, then held by a pawn shop until our investigative team stepped in, helping victims get justice. The NBC4 iTeam, dedicated to working for you.